This Sunday. Every Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, with mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Hey, Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. You've tuned in. You found us. We're still here. And we're going to do the same thing we always did with a little bit of a twist this week. But first, let me introduce my co-host, Chris. Good to see you again.
What's up, Ray? It's good to see you, too. Very excited today. I'm enjoying the fact that we're finally able to sit down here and do another show. It's always good to see you on this Sunday morning. How you been?
I've been very good. And I tell you, just let me tell the guests we had, or the guests, the listeners, we had planned to have Alanis Cher on with us today.
Yes.
But she had to reschedule at the last minute because she's picking up a car. And she wanted to make sure that she didn't want to have to rush to get back or have any trouble because they're towing it. And they didn't want to have to, you know, feel pressured to have to make the show. So I said, listen, we'll reschedule. Sure. Alanis should be on with us on the 31st, which will be next week. And we'll talk about this car, which is, it's got some kind of hidden, some historic significance.
Oh, cool.
In the race world. So we're back to talking with ourselves. And the other twist is we can use our regular phone number, which is 516-572-7440.
Remember that number? Holy smokes.
I kind of forgot it until I remembered. I had to look it up again. So,
wow, that's right. 516-572-7440. Can we use the alternate number?
Well,
is that a question?
I think we probably can. Right. We probably, because we all hooked up with it, so we could. Should we give it out? You want to do it?
I don't know. I guess we're accessible. I like the fact that we are accessible. So you can call us at either 516-572-7440. That is our studio number. Or you can call us at 516-256-9510. That is not my personal cell phone, but it comes through our personal cell phone through the warrants of technology. So, so we are accessible, I guess.
No, anyway.
Studio number, it's better.
And also people should know they should follow us on our social media platforms. Of course, we're Motormouth Radio on the website, on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram with Joe's favorite, which is real_Motormouth Radio. And that's where we put pictures up and things of the things we've done during the week. I was going to put a post up last night, but I didn't get the chance. I did a little bit of a, and of course we are regulated by the SPCA. They regulate us very tightly. FCC. No, the SPCA. That's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Audiences. they watch us closely. So we have to be good. But the post will probably go up later today. I had done a job yesterday. You know, you've said this to me and to our listeners many times. When you're going to sell a car, you want to get it in the best condition it can be in, right?
Yes.
And I'm in a position now of I'm going to be selling my Mazda because I bought another vehicle. Right. And there were a couple little minor service concerns that I'm kind of was leaving for the next guy in case, you know, that they manifested themselves. One of them was something I spoke about earlier. In July, my AC dropped out a little bit, and I saw a little wisp of smoke come up through the right side between the fender and the hood. And I looked into it, and it looked like the AC compressor clutch was at fault. Did some research online, and that's definitely what it confirmed.
Okay.
So bought the part, and then just between life and everything else and COVID, and, you know, I don't have any really good excuses, but I didn't install the part. I didn't put it in. You know, it was hot, couldn't get in the shop, whatever, you know, I wanted a sandwich. So I was at the point now of saying, okay, you know what, that part will go in the back of the car, and the new owner, I'll tell him, listen, I had this issue. Since then, the AC worked, the heat worked, so everything was fine. But you know what, if it gets worse, here's the part for it, and you're on your own.
Very good.
And I heard some noises from that, from the belt drive system, and you would think it was a tensioner, which I did, but then I thought, no, I think it's really that clutch making a little bit of a noise. Not terrible, and it would go away. Well, the other day, my wife and I took a drive out east to make a delivery, and on the way back, it sounded like a knife grinder was near me.
Ooh.
Just so happened there was a truck next to us, and I said, is that the truck? And as the truck pulled away, the noise stopped. I'm like, oh, good, thank God, it was a truck. And then I heard it again, but the truck was in front of me. I said, oh, maybe it's the... Well, I stopped in a little store plaza, got out, opened the hood, and heard it. I'm like, no, it's me.
It's you. It was the sound of your car bouncing off the truck.
Probably.
That's how you heard it. Usually I go right for the Jersey divider, if that's the case. If I'm not sure of a noise, I find go right in the third lane. I'll put the car right up against the guardrail, the Jersey divider. I want that cement wall to bounce the noise back.
You know, that's a great way to diagnose wheel bearings.
Yes.
But the problem was I was on Sunrise Highway in Nassau County, and there is no Jersey barrier.
Yeah, not many Jersey dividers there, yeah.
No. So I said, okay, look, I got the part in the garage. It's time to do this. So yesterday, good. I actually grabbed a good friend, Honda John, and I said, hey, you want to get out of the house for a while and come hang out at the shop? And he came with me. We went down to the shop and changed this clutch. And I tell you, it's everything and more I saw on the internet. The job isn't too hard. The coil, there's an electromagnetic coil that sits right up. That's the last piece in. Mine is all burned up. And that's what that wisp of smoke was.
Oh, okay.
And now if it burns up totally, it opens, and then the clutch can't get the electromagnetic signal to operate. So okay. Mine wasn't that bad, even though looking at it, I would have thought it was. And the clutch face and material was really cruddy looking. But the bearing, in the new one, it's a sealed bearing. Mine, I could see the balls of the bearing, and when you put your fingers in that clutch and turn it, it's crunchy and noisy. That was the knife grinding noise that I heard.
Got it.
You know?
Got it. Wow. Did you need any special tools to get the clutch piece off the front of the compressor?
No, it's very simple. In the middle of the clutch, I should have brought it down. There was a 5mm Allen bolt, and you just walk that off, and then the face of the clutch comes off.
Oh.
Then right. You have to remove a snap ring to right. get the body off. The body is what has the serpentine pulley on it. Mm-hmm. And then there's another snap ring because behind that is the actual electromagnetic coil that the actual pulley goes over.
Got it.
So, not bad. A couple of little things you got to do. But the other thing is this car uses a stretch belt for the AC. It has a serpentine for all the accessories.
Right.
And a stretch belt for the AC only.
What is a stretch belt?
Okay, it's like those slacks you wear, those the Keanu slacks that you like so much. You know, the Sansa belt. Remember Sansa belt slacks?
Hey, I'm wearing them now, baby.
Yeah, yes. It lets you stretch around the middle a little.
You bet.
What it is the belt is one size. Now, a serpentine belt, you know, is longer than needed, but the tensioner takes up the slack in the belt.
Yes, makes it tight. The tensioner, hence the name.
Right. And on a V-belt system like we have on our older cars, you right. can actually adjust the accessory to take up the slack in the belt.
Right. The accessory is basically hinged.
Right.
And secured, so you right. can adjust the belt accordingly. Yes.
Well, a stretch belt accessory has no tensioner, has no adjustment. The right. belt literally stretches, and you have to kind of shoehorn it on the two pulleys.
Oh, wow.
And then it takes a set, and it's good for its life.
Holy moly. So I'm sure that's a lot of fun in 30-degree weather. Oh, you were inside.
You went to the shop. So the way you remove it is...
You worked on it like a gentleman.
Right. And that's what John said. Wow, this is pretty nice working on a lift. So the way you remove it is they say take a razor knife and you cut it off. Just cut the belt off, you know?
Oh, that's disheartening.
Well, because you're going to put a new one on if you're changing the belt. That's right. How you remove it. So
obviously.
Now, I had just put that belt on a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. Joe came and helped me. I had a lot of trouble. Gates sells a little tool. It's an anodized shoe that's supposed to mount on the pulley somewhere, and it lets you crank the belt, crank the engine with a ratchet. The shoe gets under the belt and just derails it and lets it come off.
Okay, that sounds civilized.
And you the opposite to put it on. Well, mm-hmm. I couldn't get that tool to work the last time. So it was a Saturday. I did the show, radio show on Sunday, and I told this story to Joe, and he says, wow, maybe two heads are better than one. So on Sunday after the radio show, Joe and I went back to the shop, and the both of us played. We couldn't make the tool work. I said, well, if you can't do it and I can't do it, maybe we're not so stew-not after all, right? So we found a way to do it. Now, cool. Now, I watched videos now, YouTube videos, and of course, not YouTube University. I watched some of the good guys, Eric the Car Guy and South Main Auto. Some of the guys who I know are real mechanics. And I found, believe it or not, the other night I found a redneck mechanic and then three other videos. The three other videos were crap. The redneck mechanic knew his stuff. And John was telling me, no, you can't use that. I'm like, the guy didn't sound like a redneck, but I could see he was in a shop. I could see the toolboxes. He was in a real facility.
Right.
I could tell by the tools he was using, he was a professional.
He wasn't in a barn or in his basement or in the bedroom.
He was a redneck because he spoke like a redneck. And he showed something. He gave me a tip that I didn't know. He said, what I do with these stretch belts, he says, loosen the four bolts that hold the AC compressor and let it drop on those. They're actually studs. He says, now you can weasel the belt off because you can move the compressor and change that gap.
That makes a lot of sense. Remove it from the basically remove it from the engine, remove it from its base.
And then putting it on was the reverse. So John and I did that, and we did get it on. And it was, this guy did it alone. I give him credit. I give him a lot of props. It was probably wasn't his first time. I don't know if I could have done that alone. Between John and I, it took us four hands and two lights, to get this to work. But we did do it.
Wow.
And, of course, reverse the procedure, put it back together, everything is fine, and now I can – that's one less thing I have to worry about. I can say, hey, it's done.
No, I agree with you. When you sell a car, the way I like to look at it, and you're exactly right, I like to get the car ready to sell, get it to that point where you almost think back and go, maybe I'll keep this. You got to be in that kind of in that gray area. You got to be in that gray area where you could say, because there are times you just want to sell a car and just get rid of it. But there are times where it's a good vehicle. It's got a lot more life left in it. So all it needs is just a little bit of TLC. So you put that TLC into the car and it never really costs a heck of a lot and it never really takes too much time. But once you get it to that point where you look at it and go, maybe I'll keep it another year. That's when it should go.
On that note, when I was cleaning up the FJ and it was all that mess that I had, I really detailed the heck out of the interior. And I said, wow, this thing looks new. I'm glad I said I'd take it. So it prompted me to go and clean my own car. And, we spoke about this. You and I both share the trait of not having messy cars.
Yes.
But on any given day, you could look at any one of our dashboards and find some dust by the gauges. And, that stuff just accumulates.
It's just there.
But when you clean all that stuff out and clean the plastic, wow, now it looks. So I did the same thing. I cleaned the Mazda. I said, hey, this car looks really good. I want to drive it now. So
that's the way I like to present a vehicle. Yeah. I never wanted to explain anything. And that is always the case when you sell a car, because people will come over and they'll sit in the car and they'll look around and here's something. It's psychological. They'll point at something. And I've always said this. They'll point at something. I do it. And once they point, if you see, you're the owner of the vehicle and you see them pointing or addressing something in the vehicle, and then you start explaining. You start explaining what the blah, 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 that's the sort of the.
You've explained this. We have a caller.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Let's go to the phones and let's go to the fun.
Yes, caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
It's me, Rob.
We're working
how you
on
doing?
That from the other side right now.
Gentlemen, are you there?
It's fun.
Gentlemen, are you there?
Well, this is our test bed right here. So
yes, and you know what? That's fine. I think this show should be the test bed for everything technological right now.
Right. I know in the studio they are on the line with the caller right now, so they're trying to work this out and see if we
right.
can. Yeah.
In the meantime, once we get our call. But in the meantime, that's basically what should happen. When you're sitting in a vehicle and you point at something or an imperfection or something like that, and the owner has to now explain whatever that imperfection is, to me, I don't want to do that. I want to make sure that a potential buyer sits in my vehicle, looks at my vehicle, and doesn't see anything wrong, or doesn't right. see. Or they'll go to something just so minuscule, like, oh, there's a little tiny chip here. Well, yeah, it's a 20-year-old car, Bunky. I mean, that's what you're going to get. So if that chip wasn't there, I'd ask $1,000 more for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's that. So I appreciate when you do the work, you get the car looking sharp, and then a potential buyer comes over and looks at it and goes, I don't see anything wrong with this vehicle. Here's your money. Yeah. That's to me always the best way to sell a car, when it's not making noise. It's not, and you can take it one step further. If it's making one noise and you go, oh yeah, it always did that, or oh yeah, how many other noises are you ignoring? How many right. other things are you avoiding?
Right, right.
So once that car is running well and doing what it should and everything should work, then usually a lot of times people, they don't have a leg to stand on for negotiation. They just go, here's your money. And it has happened to me.
Yeah.
It has happened to me in the past. Look, I looked at this car. I can't find anything to snip about. So right. I'm going to give you what you're asking for it.
Right. And then there's the other caveat, the other thing that happens where everything is good and clean and quiet and working well. And then you go to show the car and you start it and there's a noise that you never heard before.
Yes.
And the guy looks up. Okay. I think Kim gave us a thumbs up. Do we have a caller on the line? Caller, are you with
yes,
us?
Yes, you do. Yes,
hey!
You do. Hey, it's Rob. Me, Rob, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Rob?
All kinds of things. You're talking about stretch belts. All right. My son had one of those on an 86 Ford Escape on the water pump. Probably one of the most dangerous things an engineer has ever devised to date. I mean, getting those things off, putting them on, you know, I couldn't think of anything more dangerous because, you know, you get a guy like me, he can't get it on easily. So you go and you say to the kid, all right, kid, look, I'm going to hold this screwdriver right here. You clip the starter a couple of times and ooh. Boom, on it goes, you know.
But now the screwdriver flies out through a fender or something.
Yeah, well, you know, we've done plenty of go-karts in our time, so, you know, we tend to know how to hold on to the screwdriver. But, yeah, that's really not a great idea. As a matter of fact, the kit that we had, it came with a belt, a stretch belt, and it came with a large zip tie. And the instructions said to go and zip tie it around the belt, right, and then tap the starter to go and while you're pulling on the zip tie to jump it off the pulley.
Wow.
Really?
You lost me at tap the starter.
No, you know what?
Whatever it is, I'm not doing it.
I'll tell you this. John said to me at one point when we were doing this, he says, hey, have you ever seen the video of a guy changing the drive belt, the belt on a VW as it's running? And I said, yeah. He goes, I said, listen, we're not going there.
I wouldn't do that either. But I could see how he could do that. But, well, putting it on is one thing. While it's running, taking it off, yeah, that's a whole totally different animal, you know?
Yeah, what they do say, what Gates does refer to for removal is to cut it off with a razor knife. They just cut it.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Which makes sense. If you're changing it, it doesn't matter. You know, you're going to take it off anyway.
Right.
But then you can't save that as a, you know, in case of an... Then again, on the side of the road, you're not changing that belt on the side of the road.
No. No, you're not. You're not.
And the problem with that,
dumb idea.
Now, the problem I have with that on my car is that belt is on the outside and the serpentine is on the inside. So if I wanted to change the serp belt, I have to take the AC belt off first.
Oh, look at that. That was poor planning.
And that's, you know, just the way the engine ergonomics laid out, I guess.
Hey, that was really poor planning.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? See, that's why I like the old cars. You know, you have a tensioner, you got the belt. Loosen it up, slide it down, take it off, put it on, tighten it back up. You're done.
Yeah,
done.
Right. You know.
Well, but the good thing is the serp belts are more They last longer. They track straighter. They don't make as much noise. And they stay, you know, like a V-belt. Plenty of V-belts fly off in high-performance applications, or they twist. I've had that happen. The Serpents are kind of are better in that regard. But, yeah, they're six of one, half dozen of the other. A V-belt system on an older car can work absolutely fine. You're right.
Well, you know what it is. I mean, I'm okay with the Serpentine belts. You're right. They are very they're very long lasting. They're very dependable, very reliable. Of course, you lose one belt, you lose everything. But you know, the smart person carries a spare belt and the tool to put it on. You know,
right. Sure.
As a matter of fact, I have. Funny you should say, because I have a spare belt in my car and my wife's car, and the tools to install them, and also a spare belt in my daughter's car, and I showed her how that's installed. Because she's, you know, she goes to school in Western New York, and already she's had a problem where she had like an engine light on. So I had to talk her through, you know, using the scan tool and, you know, how to determine what the problem was. And she found that she didn't put the gas cap on properly. She had an EVAP code. So she was able to find it, and she worked herself through it, and she didn't panic, which is good, you know. So, you know, these are the things. But if she has a situation with a belt, you know, well, she has what she needs to work through it. And hopefully she'll be able to, you know, make it work, you know?
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Rob. Being at the shop, I can see some of the newer cars, I've had to change, they've had me change tensioners, you know, and I go look, you know, it's a transverse engine. You look down and you say, oh, my God, how am I going to get in there? And, you know, how are you going to get the tool? I can't even see where I'm going to put the tool. So in a shop setting, it's bad enough. In a parking lot or on a road, boy, that's like... Wow. Some of these cars, some of those new, and as the cars get smaller and the engine bays get tighter a lot of times, some of them are very, very tough.
Yeah, well, she has a Jeep Liberty, so fortunately they put the motor in the right way in that thing, you know. They didn't put it in the wrong way.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's right there. So it's easy enough, you know. And, you know, we went through the whole, before we sent her away with it, we went through the whole vehicle with her, you know, to show what this does, that does, the other thing does, how to check your oil, transmission fluid, all that other stuff, tire pressure, and, you know, basic service things, so that this way she doesn't get into an incident. And if she does, then she has, you know, a toolbox under the seat that she can work through most of her basic problems, you know?
Yeah.
Rob, that's real smart. I mean, I'm glad you did that, because it makes your daughter self-sufficient. And that's,
I mean, even how to change
empowering.
The light bulbs and the headlight bulbs. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And, you know, and she enjoys that too, because she likes being empowered that way. This way, if she had to walk into a shop to take care of something that was beyond the scope of her ability, then of course she at least has an idea what she's talking about.
You know? Right. Right.
There are a couple of shops close by her school, which, you know, I've looked into, and they appear to be okay. So I said, okay, look, you have a problem with this, you go there. You got a problem with this other thing, you go over there instead, you know. So she has that background behind her, you know.
That's real smart. That works out well. I appreciate that. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what else you're going to appreciate. I finally tore the motor down in the Mustang, right, because it's been sitting on the stand for about a year and a half. So the block and the heads are out to Merkle, and that'll be back in about maybe 2 to 3 weeks. All my parts came in, so I'm ready to build. So that's going to go back together probably in about a month or so. Transmission's going out in about 2 weeks. Although the transmission works fine, you know, it's out. May as well freshen it up, right?
Sure.
So get that together. We'll put that together. And then it's just a matter of, I'm in the quarter panel area now. And once I get done with that work, car goes out to paint. Hopefully by the end of the summer, that's all going to happen. And then I'll have a driving car again. My wife would like that, you know. It's her car, not mine, so.
All right, Rob. Well, we got to run for now, but keep us in touch on that project through the months as it progresses. We want to hear about it.
Sure.
And again, congrats on dealing with your daughter in the right way. That's an excellent thing.
That's what you have to do. My son, I don't have to worry about, because let me tell you something. He's gotten himself in the craziest situations and always has worked himself out of it, you know?
Right.
Without a doubt. So he's pretty clever that way. So, okay, listen, I got to go. I'm in the middle of actually cleaning up the power steering pump and rebuilding that. So you have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Rob.
Take care, my brother. Be safe.
Okay.
So long. All right.
516-572-7440, or if you want to call the alternate number, you can call that too.
Before we get into our bottom of the hour break, I wanted to mention, you know, last week we had the Duke of Dodge. We had Steve Magnante on with us.
Yes.
As he is. And Steve,
you can hear the show on motormouthradio.com.
That's right. It is up on the website, of course. And Steve has agreed to come on to Playing in Traffic, the show that I do on Thursday nights.
Really?
Because he said he wanted to be able to show off the models that he spoke about with us. He wants to be able to show people visually And that's a visual medium, that
wow.
show.
Wow, yeah. Now I got to check in to Playing in Traffic now?
Yeah.
I got to part with my Thursday night?
We're on a new platform on that, too. We're on Restream.io.
I was washing my hair that night. My hairs.
So leave the other hair. Leave.
I was washing my nose hair.
I know. The back hair, that'll take a while. So I'll keep you posted on that. He doesn't have a scheduled date yet. Lewis is going to schedule that, but we'll get him on there and we'll again, we kind of share guests back and forth. We had a guy on from Frank from Wrench Nation, which is another. They do a lot of podcasts and radio stuff. Yeah, he's been
very militant. Wrench
Nation. He's been pushing. He's been pushing us on Twitter. He's really been helping us out. And cool. And again, we talked a lot about. Like what Rob was talking about. We've talked about education and kids coming in and how they can get into the profession of mechanics, not the hobby, the profession. And we had a very good discussion about that. So we're going to have Frank on this show in the future. Again, we'll schedule him in and we'll talk about that.
I would look forward to that because it's something I'm fearing. The fact that the next generation coming up is not as involved with vehicles as we were as kids.
Right.
And I think now, people always use the argument that cars are not approachable anymore, that the vehicles can't be fixed in a shade tree garage setting. And I kind of disagree with that. I just think it's just the way you have to attack it. Yeah. Because I have done some repairs that were maybe a little bit past my pay grade, but I was able to do it. And the thing you need is obviously if you take away the pressure of needing the vehicle the next day, I know that's usually my Achilles heel. It's like, oh my God, I got to fix this tonight because I need the car tomorrow. If that's why we have more than one vehicle in the house, because there are times where I have to stand back and go, let me do some more research while this thing is exploded in a million pieces.
Yeah.
And I go and do that. And a lot of times it's that psyche. It's that psychology of not needing the car helps me out.
That's what I want to finish up on. We got diverted, but that redneck mechanic I was watching, the thing I liked about him was not only did he show the tip, but he also showed on the reinstallation, he cited torque specs.
And cool.
Now, to me, I know that's a guy who knows. He's trained to go to either All Data or Identifix or his manual system or whatever to know what. And most people, that's a job most people would never torque any of that stuff down.
Right.
But again, that was another key for me to say, okay, he's a good source of information. Well, the other guys were just in there, wrenching it down, which is
very true.
Bad in that for that job. But again, just gave it another level. So when you do watch YouTube, guys, kind of vet it out and see how much information the other people have gotten for themselves and how much they're imparting, because that goes a long way to tell you how professional that person is who's doing the job.
Very true. You do have to, as a YouTube viewer, we should explore how to read between the lines and what makes a good YouTube repair person better than the next guy. And that is definitely one quality that I appreciate as well, because I always talked about in the old days when we did this show in the old days when we were driving dirt, I used to talk about torque specs like is like 40 pounds,
right?
And that's on the 300, that's on the 69. I know I could still get away with doing that on that car, but on the newer cars that I work on, oh no, I need the torque wrenches right there all the time, as I would hope much to your appreciation, because you need to torque stuff down. We are working with such tolerances nowadays that one little screw up can really mess up your day and mess up the repair. So I do too. I've learned to embrace the torque wrench on newer vehicle repairs. So I'm totally with you 100% on that.
John actually told me a story yesterday that a friend of his that he knew through work, the guy was, he's worked on stuff, but he's not fluently competent. And he wanted to have John do brakes for him on his car.
Okay.
So he bought the brakes and he looked up all the specs and John said, yeah, I know he's citing torque specs. And John kind of is a seat of the pants kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And doing brakes is one of those things a lot of people don't use torque specs on.
Yeah, I don't.
I do torque caliper brackets if needed. And I do torque calipers, the slide pins when I have the spec. I do that.
I use my shoulder to torque on a caliper, on a caliper bolt, because I get the wrench on there and I lean on it with your shoulder.
Well, let me just tell you a caveat. If you do change rotors now and you need to remove the caliper bracket, on most modern cars from the 2010-12 age on up. Those bolts are now torque to yield bolts, which means they're one use.
Oh, wow.
One. Right. And I got in that jam of my wife's car a couple of years ago where I changed the stuff at the shop. I hadn't realized that. And then when I took the bolt out, I knew it was because it doesn't have the same specs on it or anything. I said, this is a torque to yield bolt. Oh, my God. And what that means is as it gets tightened to a torque, and then there's a degree value. So it, just for argument's sake, it may say 75 foot-pounds, right. Then 20 degrees plus 5 degrees. So you use 75 foot-pounds with a torque wrench. Then with a torque to yield torque wrench or meter, there is another cheap and easy tool that I own to do that. You actually go with is a dial on a scale. You know, it's a sweep dial, and you go to the amount of degrees, say 30 degrees or 25 degrees. Then right. You relax it. Then you go to the 5 degrees. And what that does is it tightens the bolt to the maximum stretch value of the threads. Because that's how a bolt holds. The threads actually stretch.
Yes.
So when you take that bolt out now, it's been used and stretched to its maximum, and you throw it out, and you have to replace the bolt. Wow. So there I am at the shop saying, oh, great, I don't have new bolts. I reinstalled the old ones, hoping they would go in, and they did. And then I ordered the new ones and then just did a matter of swapping them out in the driveway. But you need either that angle meter to give you that degree reading, or I bought a new torque wrench that does foot-pounds, inch-pounds, kilopascals, and it does torque to yield also. So it's all in a digital thing. You know, it's all in one now.
Wow.
Something to consider if you do take caliper brackets off. Major suspension components and things like that are very important, use torque to yield bolts.
Okay, note to self, remove torque to yield bolt, throw away, go to hardware store, pick up standard bolt, install standard bolt.
Well, no, you have to get those. I actually got them from Rock Auto because they come from the manufacturer. It's not a hardware store thing. It's a very specific bolt. And by the way, that was all posted on social media, on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. People can go back and look that up, I guess. But let's see if we're ready to take our bottom of the hour break.
All righty.
So we can take care of some spots. See if we have a coordinated effort here, because I don't know. Well, I'll try this. Okay, so that's it. We're gonna go. We'll do a few.
Do you want an honor group?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Pardon me. Please. What's the honor group of the hour?
We do, of course, Ray. Thank you for reminding me. We have
just like we
planned this. The Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour today: cars that still have AM radios.
Yeah.
Do you still revel in the squelch and the static? Do you still revel in all that signal fade? Do you still revel in the fact that that radio does not pick up Motormouth Radio? Well, yeah. If you own a car that still sports an AM radio, even if it takes a few minutes for the tubes to warm up, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go. Take that break in, man.
Excellent. Thank you, Chris. And with that, we will take a break. We'll be back with more Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer in a few minutes. Keep it where you got it on WHPC 90.3.
You're listening to the Motormouth.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motormouth! You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
Now hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motormouth!
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No. I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Root.
As always, you are a consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming.
I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
I'll call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
So I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motormouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
This show on 90.3 HPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Whoa. These guys are the kings of rock. There is none higher. That's cool.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, we are back on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. Thank you for keeping it where you got it. Give us a call, 516-572-7440. Feels good to say that number again. And we'll all of your automotive issues or problems or whatever, and you know, whatever.
Right? Automotive needs and dreams. 516-572-7440. There's a phone number to get a hold of us. It's the studio line.
It is.
78. Write it down. The studio line. Yeah. So let me tell you, Ray.
Tell me, Chris.
I gotta throw something to you. I know you're probably gonna slap me on the wrist for this.
Ready, come on.
Throwing it. Okay. The first thing I suggest that we do is plan our repair. Okay. You know why? I'll tell you why. I'm glad you asked. Here's the reason why. I installed the power antenna, that blankety blank blanking thing, in the car. The thing that I like to call doing so much for so little. That's this job repair name. That's the cutesy little clever job repair name that I used, that I describe what this is. Anyway, I put the antenna in. I run it. It runs fine. But the problem I had was the antenna cable that plugs into the radio was too short. So I had to order a extension cable, which showed up. But in the process, I put everything together. I put the wheel well back in. It worked just fine. All I have to do is get that cable, install the cable, done deal, right? So cable shows up. Nice, bright, sunny day. Open up the door, get in there, click, click. I just plug the cable in. It takes a matter of seconds. Turn on the radio. What do I hear?
What do you hear?
Buck, 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 buck. Wait, when you rev it up, it goes buck, 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 buck.
You had Donnie's duck farm from across the road.
That's exactly what I got. So what do? I go get the old antenna that's still sitting safely on a shelf. I take that down. I unplug the radio from the extension antenna plug. I plug in the regular antenna. It is now sitting in the passenger seat. I get a golden signal.
Oh boy.
I get a crisp, clear tone.
Well, I'm like, antenna, when you said, "Will you please play for me golden tones on my AM radio?" It said,
"No."
Okay. That's what it said. Right. A couple times it said that.
It said no, exactly. So I now have to take the wheel well down again.
At least the bolts are nice and loose. And
Yeah. Easy. And that is something that I know we've always talked about this. I love, and I don't love doing the job over again, but if I have to, I love the fact that the threads have already been cleaned on all the bolts. Everything will come apart smoothly. I'll have it down in a matter of less than a half an hour. I'll have the wheel off and the wheel well down. I'll be staring at that power antenna in a half an hour. Now, the thing that, of course, we put on top of this is that it's 20 blanking degrees out there. I don't work like you do, sir. I don't have a gentleman's shop that's heated and I could put things on lifts and stuff. No, I'm still on the cement. Thank you very much. And it's always a pain. Yeah. I'm still in the process of dressing to go out there to work on a car in 20 degree weather, which I'm getting too old to do.
Hey, you know what? Just as an aside, my wife had bought me a few years ago a few pair of pants. I think one is made by Dickies. The other one is made by another popular, you know, outdoor pants. They're denim pants, but they're fleece lined.
Ooh.
And they're really nice for working outside or in a cold environment because they have that fleece lining.
Nice.
You know, just a thought I'll throw out there.
Keep you warm and cozy. Young
man. Very nice.
Ooh. And what's the name of the pants again?
I know that Dickies is one brand, which is the popular outdoor brand. I can't remember the brand of the other one she bought me. It's another popular, it wasn't Carhartt, but it was another popular brand of working gear. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't work and wear. It was a name like, you know, it was like Dickies. Or, I don't know. So they do sell those. I think one pair she even got in Sears at the time. But
Sears, no less.
They really work well. They really work well. But
do you want to?
Let's try it. I see it's coming through. Let's see if.
Let's give it a shot. Let's go to the phones at our alternate number, 516-256-9510, and hear how this sounds and compare the two and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Chris, Ray, it's Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, how are you?
What's happening?
How you been?
I'm busy, no time, all of the above.
But I see you're still buying car parts.
You bet.
Tell us.
I got a few things.
What'd you get?
I got springs for my Camaro. And
springs
I just
for Camaro.
Listened, I went and bought, I'm getting rid of the old, I guess, what would you call them? Traction bars underneath?
Yes. Yeah.
So I went and bought the spring, the perch mount, I guess you call it. And it goes where the shock attaches.
Right, right.
Okay.
Leaves with the leaf springs. Yeah, it's the leaf spring bolts, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But the kit, you're talking about bolts and things. The kit from Hotchkiss has all the bolts in it. I was like, this great big bag of bolts. Like, that's awesome. Shouldn't have to go source anything.
Right. But now you got to go rummage through all these bolts now, right? You got to throw the bolts in like a pail.
Big bag of hardware.
Right.
To put it all back together and... But one thing I like to do, you mentioned about talk and having info and writing stuff down on a piece of paper or cardboard ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
And do all your, I guess, let's say your homework ahead of time, surf the internet or your books or whatever else, or just say, I remember it should be this.
Yes.
You know, I got to get in there and rip this apart. Just a matter of finding time to do it.
Well, I went to the shop yesterday and I was putting the car back together, I started says, wait, I had a torque spec for that. And I had, you know, John says, what do you mean? I said, yeah, I had a sheet of paper. And I held up. He goes, of course you do. I'm like, well, yeah, I wrote all this stuff out last night while I had the ability to do it.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the way to go.
That's
you
perfect.
Print it out or I like big pieces of cardboard.
Okay.
And they're a little more durable. They're not going to, let's say, blow away on you and they'll kind of like slip on it. It's just a little more, you stand them up.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Glenn. It does.
Sure.
And it always got a Sharpie or two or 10 laying around. I'm trying to clean up and organize. Just I can't do any work. It's too cold for outside, number one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe one of these days I'll start to tackle this, but I'm hoping it comes out pretty good.
No. You're changing the actual leaf springs as well as the hardware, correct?
Yeah, then do the whole springs. Yeah.
Okay. That's actually that's a job you have to really think out and do carefully because of the potential. The kinetic energy in those springs is enough to hurt you.
Yes. It sure is.
Well, I'm going to drop, I have to set, obviously, you know, jack up the car to start to get everything prepared, but I have to then. I'm not taking the rear axle. I'm going to leave all of that in place.
Sure. That can stay in place, yes. I'll do one side at a time.
I'll loosen everything up, and I think I'll do a side at a time and start with the rear shackles. But ahead of all that, I'm going to maybe even today, I'll spray some air coil on there or something to
hoping all the bolts come apart.
That's smart idea. Thing.
The idea with that job is to have the car. Well, Camaro doesn't have a chassis. It's supposed to have a rear chassis. Have the body of the car supported with jack stands, and then let the rear hang.
Yeah.
You can move that rear with a floor jack as needed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking of doing. And right. I also put, whenever I did it, I put frame connectors in there, subframe connectors. So
that's good.
I'm probably going to wind up cleaning things up, maybe painting things. But either way, talking about hardware and bolts and being ready, I just also need to have the mental readiness to do all of the above.
I hear you.
You do have to be ready. Yes.
The mental readiness is the hardest part. So, that's the hardest part.
Uh-huh.
No, very true.
And I just bought the other parts, and I said, well, where did they go? I already put them in the trunk, and I'm like,
right.
I'm not losing stuff.
Oh, don't do that.
That's a good idea, though.
Just misplacing it.
Yeah, that's a good idea to put them in the car, because that's where they're ultimately going to end, and it is a very safe place to put the parts you want to install. I agree with that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so the trunk, that's where this stuff is going for now. And I got car parts in the back seat. I don't have much room, so I gotta have to.
I know.
Work with what I got.
Glenn, are you working outside, or do you have a garage that you can?
I have a one car garage.
Okay.
Pretty much enough, barely for me to get around.
Got it. Oh, I got it. I know how you feel.
It's better than a no car garage.
No, it's true.
Yes.
No, it's
remember
very
back
true.
To the days in Freeport where you had the home garage. That was kind of space. You had a little bit of space in there. That was kind of nice.
That was a big garage. It had a lot of had a full walk up upstairs. Not even an attic. You could put tons of things up there. Parts, right. Interior.
Right.
I think that was a 2.5. That's where I painted the car originally.
Yeah, that was base.
Figured I'd do it one day and.
But hey,
gotta get it done.
You know, necessity's a mother. I did the majority of the restoration work on my Pontiac in my 1.5 car garage. And when you take a car apart, you need, for one car, you need at least three.
Yes.
Is four would be
you need a lot of space,
work.
Room, and
I had
area to clean things up, spray things, and
yeah.
I did my TR6 in a one car garage, and that was pretty harrowing too. You're right.
But you did have a motorman's friend in that garage. That took care of everything else, so you're okay then.
Loosened up some bolts at times.
Yeah. Very good. Well, Glenn, keep us up on that project. You know, we want to hear about it as you progress.
Yeah. Yes.
I'll send you pictures. I was gonna do this a few weeks back. You know, the holidays came and went, and in between I did the spark plugs on the Ford Explorer we have, which is a 3-valve, 4.6 liter.
Yes.
Those plugs are notorious sometimes for breaking.
Yes.
And we
talked about this. There's a tool now. We did that with Mike's Mustang. There's a tool, I think KD makes it. You put it in, it actually breaks the plug. You know? I mean, it sounds like it is the scariest sound in the world.
I had I bought an ignition kit. Turns out it's the wrong one. I got the right one. So I went with the Excel. It's a coil on plug.
Right.
Anyway, I said, I got to do this. And then I had to, because the car was fouled, something was wrong, either a coil or a plug. It's got 124.
Wow.
So I said, let me tackle this. I did it. And then I got the tool, the removal tool, just in case. I said, I have everything ready.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm going to rip into this. I went for all, one after another, did all the plugs. Thankfully, they all came out.
Wow, you're lucky. You're very lucky.
I got real lucky.
Well, it's because you had the tool.
Difference.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a difference, though, in acceleration, the overall just drivability.
Yeah.
It definitely had a fouled plug or a coil was bad.
You know, we've been talking about that since the 90s when the company started specking 100,000 mile antifreeze and spark plug changes. Mm-hmm. And we said, the older guys like, get out of here, because we should do spark plugs.
No way, yeah.
More times. Well, I tell you now, a lot of cars that I've worked on, I could tell they have original plugs in them. They've been in there for over 100,000 miles. And, you know, the declination in performance is slow and you don't feel it because it's not a big drop off. It's a little drop off time. And next thing you know, the car maybe doesn't feel as peppy as it once did, but just because it's old.
Right.
Simple spark plug change can make, you know, all the change in the world with that. So
sure can. Yeah. Glenn, thanks so much for the call, my brother.
Big difference.
Yeah, sure does.
I'll try to send you some pics. I think I got some pictures of that stuff too, but all is good, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for the update. We'll talk soon. Bye bye.
So long.
You know,
516-572-7440 or 516-256-9510. There you go.
I wanted to tell you a quick little addendum to what happened 2 weeks ago. I did talk about this on social media. When our friend Tom had called, Tom from Massapequa, asking if we knew how to sell off or how to move used Snap-on tools a few weeks ago.
Sure.
And, of course, I jumped right on that because I'm always looking for stuff, even if I don't need it. But I did make an off-the-cuff comment, and I think Tom was talking as I did it. So it wasn't it wasn't something you could isolate for a promo because it was crosstalk. And I said, if you happen to come across any Zildjian symbols, I'm also looking for those. You may not have even heard me say that, right?
No, I didn't even catch what you said it just now. What kind of symbols?
Zildjian, which is a brand name of symbol.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Like Fetar, Ludwig Drum, Zildjian symbols, very popular. So you see, it was kind of an offhand comment. Well, it ends up, I text last week, right after the show, and it was my friend Rick. I'm sorry, my friend Jeff, the glass guy. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's cool. He was at an indoor flea market in Island Park, and he sends me a picture of a Zildjian symbol. He says, hey, is this what you're looking for?
Right.
And I was like, how does he know? Like, what? It ends up, my friend Ricky heard that on the show and went to the flea market with Jeff and saw it. Hey, I think Ray's looking for something like that. So he picked it up, ended up buying it, got a great deal on. But the whole point is power of radio. I just made an offhand comment that got stepped on by another comment.
Right.
Somebody heard it. The right person heard it, relayed it. And within 2 days after that, boom, I had my symbol. And there it is. So I'm looking for more. But it's the power of radio. Yeah,
very true. And sometimes I marvel at the power of this program. Because there are times I'm like, are we talking to ourselves?
Well, that's the thing. You know, Rick and Jeff, these are guys I've known for, 50 years already, right. Almost 50 years of my life. And, you know, we go way, way back. And they're still around. You know, of course, we don't see each other as much as we'd like to, like a lot of us with our friends. But they're around, you know, and we had some nice conversation. And Jeff came by and, you know, Jeff did the glass in my car. He's done some work for Mike at the shop. He's because he does auto glass, you know.
Right.
A lot of custom stuff. But, it's just kind of funny. Yeah, it was just kind of a nice – one of those things makes you smile when you know that the show was able to convey something and then you get something back from it, which was, it's great. Good stuff.
No, it's the truth. I can totally agree with it. And you think about sometimes the benefits show up in very strange, very peculiar ways. And that's actually gives you a reason to keep doing the show. Not the fact that you have you have an in on instrument equipment, but just for the fact that I've always said when we first started the show, I always thought that I was going to be dispensing more information than receiving. And it has a complete fallacy. I think I've learned more personally. I've learned more doing this show than actually dispensed automotive knowledge.
Yeah, we probably all have. You're right.
Yeah, I really think if anybody ever benefited from this show, it's me.
Hey, you know what? So that's a good reason to keep doing it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And we will keep doing it. We don't have any plans of shutting it down yet. Hey, if we've gotten through all the hurdles that we've gotten through.
Yes.
You know, we've climbed some mountains.
Right, and continue to get through hurdles. But yeah, and just to get back, just to review for a second, this is what kills me. Sometimes I never plan my repairs. I start putting stuff together before I've done the necessary tests. And if all I had to do was just sit and wait for that antenna extension cord wire to come in and plug it in while everything was still in pieces, I'd be fine. But yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't. I said, oh, this will work. Yeah. Yeah. When was the last time you said that, right?
Right. I know.
And I put it all together under the stipulation that it was going to work. And, of course, it didn't. So now I have to take it all apart. My bad. You know, it's like now I got to take this all apart and go through it all over again and diagnose why this brand new power antenna is not working.
You know, there's not many things simpler than an antenna. But that, right. that's I know that sound. Yeah, we've all heard that sound. And it's definitely a signal induced sound. First thing,
the alternator.
Make sure that, right. Verify and maybe optimize the ground on the antenna. And then you may need just a noise suppressor. You know, it's a diode coming off the alternator lead because it's high tension. You know, you do have suppressor wires in the car, right? You don't have solid core wires.
Oh, no, I'm sure there's a suppressor wire in there.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Double check and look. You never know. I mean, did you put new wires on the car?
The ignition wires, yes. Yeah.
Okay, I don't think you could. I think you have to buy solid core. You got to go to like Jegs or Summit. You have to get race parts. I don't think, you know, the regular wires are not, you know.
Oh, not, really? I got to put a set of race wires on?
No.
What? They're going to last, what, 300 miles before they're going to need.
No. The race wires are the solid core. Those are the ones you don't want.
Oh. So,
yeah. Everything else you buy is going to be suppression core wire, which means it's just the center lead is wrapped in like a carbon.
Yeah,
it's like a carbon wrap to suppress noise. But yeah, a diode, a noise suppressor. Sometimes they'll employ a capacitor to eat up the signal. But that's, you may need something like that.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that I'm going to have to dope out. And you know what? I've gotten to the point where I could take it apart and just put the old antenna back in. I'll just turn the wires that wire harness that I installed, I just turn it back and just put the old antenna in until I can figure this out. At least I'll have the harness there that I can plug in antennas and go about the repair and still use the car at the same time. And heck, I can even drive around with no wheel well. Who cares? I don't use the car in the weather. Right. So
I would think the antenna manufacturer, when there should have been an instruction sheet, and they should have alerted you to that possibility that you may need a noise suppressor, because it's so common with antennas and stereo systems, you know.
Agreed. No, you're right. No, this is one of those antennas that is shown up from overseas, I'm sure. It was not an expensive purchase, and it shows.
But double check the ground for the antenna. Make sure that it grounds well through the, I mean, usually there's no separate ground wire on an antenna. I've never seen one. But a power antenna may have.
This does. It had three wires coming off it. It was an automatic power antenna that I converted to a manual power antenna.
Right,
so
right.
You switch to run it. That's what I wanted to do. I didn't want the radio knob to turn on. I didn't want to turn the radio on and have the antenna go up automatically. I didn't want that. There was a ground there. So now I'm thinking, okay, is it now properly grounded? So I have to check that. The only way to check that is to get the wheel well down, and it's one of the diagnoses levels that I'm going to go through.
I'll tell you what, we're properly grounded and we're going to be out of here because Kim is coming in with Thunder Road, Best of Bruce Springsteen, and we thank Kim for her help this week with
the
studio setup, and we'll be back next week with Miss Alana Scher, from writer from Hot Rod Magazine and Carcraft and all sorts of other stuff, and we'll be back then. So Chris, what do we say when we leave here?
Don't follow us home and plan your repairs.
All right. So for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, signing off. We'll see you next week. And listen to these great spots and stay tuned for Kim on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.